Our eternal God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, a loving Father, a beautiful Savior. We thank you for bringing each one of us here today into your presence. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we have been exploring this discipleship series on what it means to follow Jesus personally. And we looked at this whole series starting from knowing who God is and who we place our faith in to learning different ways in terms of how we can be a disciple of Christ, how to upkeep our lives as a disciple. And now finally in this last stretch, in the last few sermons, we have come to see what are the marks of a maturing disciple. And as I draw this series to a close, I will explore one of the true marks of a maturing disciple is about love. The love for God and the love for others. You know, the topic of love is such a widely used word. There are so many different definitions of love. You and I have got different understanding of what love is. We have different thoughts and different feelings, different expressions of love. So when I was preparing for this sermon, I was just wondering, actually, what really is love? So I just decided that I will ask my brother Google and ask him, what is love? So this is what I did. I did a desktop research, and lo and behold, within less than a second, you get billions of results about what love is. Then I thought, okay, maybe I should refine my search a bit more in terms of what is the definition of love. Wow, it dropped to 20% of that large number that you saw, and it took slightly longer time, but still less than 1 second. What about you? If you were to search within your own database, within here, everything, I wonder, what comes to your mind when you hear the word love? How will your results list look like? It can be someone whom you love dearly. It can also be an expression of love, hugs, gifts, flowers, chocolates. But I just like to share when I search my own engine within, this is my results list. Okay, so it takes a bit longer. Yes, about 100 results in 5 minutes. And there are different definitions that I thought, like God is love, just like what you have read just now. Saying thank you always to someone who clears my food, or even for someone who has opened the door for me. Videos that I like to watch, you know. You can know who I watch and who I follow. And then images of different people I love. Okay, this is not exhaustive. If your photo is not there, it doesn't mean that I don't love you, okay? Yeah. Okay, so these are just people I love, my church fam, my friends, and my own family. Yeah. So, I wonder, have you ever wondered, if you ask a child, what is love? What do you think will their replies be? I found a video which is quite interesting. They did a street interview of children. Maybe we should take a look at it.
No idea.
What is love?
Love is when you love somebody. And it's when you love somebody, and it's really when you love somebody.
What do you think it feels like to be in love?
It feels like heaven.
What do people who are in love with each other do?
They be gross.
What does that mean?
They kiss, they be gross.
If you're not in love and you want to be, what should you do to find someone?
Go to a woman casino.
What about Tinder? Do you think that's a good way to meet people?
Tinder? Maybe. If it's chicken, probably. They would prefer to lick it.
Chicken Tinder?
Yeah. I love it a lot.
Yeah, it's fun to have on a date.
Yep.
Do any of your friends at school have boyfriends?
I don't know that answer. My friend pretended she did, but it was just a stuffed animal.
That's weird, right?
It was funny. Because after school, who knows what happens with him?
I like to do it. All the time.
You like to do what all the time?
Play with my
girls?
Yeah.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes.
Who is she?
Isabella.
And what do you like about her?
Her hair. She has beautiful toys.
Is there anyone you have a crush on?
It's a secret. I'm not telling anybody.
So is she your girlfriend?
No. But she's beautiful.
Is that, what do you like about her besides that she's beautiful?
She's just beautiful.
Is there any boy you have a crush on at school?
No.
How did you know you were in love with her?
When I met her in kindergarten, she was just so beautiful and she had long hair. She was just so beautiful.
I'm not really into that stuff anymore.
Like what stuff?
Like marrying stuff anymore. I feel like I want to be single this now.
And what about like for the rest of your life or just now?
Just at the moment. I'm not sure about maybe when I get older.
You just want to focus on yourself and your career.
Yeah.
What is love?
Right. So which is your favorite child? Is it the one with a chicken or is it the one with beautiful? She has long hair. She's just beautiful. Yeah. So well, in case you're wondering, right, where are all these going? I would just like to draw your attention to some observations. So regardless of our age, be it we are young or we are old, there is something that is very common in terms of what love is. It is both a feeling and also an action towards someone or something. And this is also similar to how our bodies react to certain stimulus. When there is a feeling of heat, when we touch a hot kettle, our immediate reaction, the automatic response, is to remove our hand away. And that is the reflex action. So did you know that in love, there is also a reflex action? We respond to stimulus knowingly or even subconsciously. In love, we do things we don't think about, or we can't resist, or even cannot say no. But what about this particular reflex action of a mature love, of God's love? You know, in a reflex action, there are three key elements. There is a central system, which is the source that directs your actions and your feeling, and then the neurons that transmit your body to your muscles, and finally the action. And in the same way, the marks of a disciple, a maturing disciple full of love for God, stems from a central system of God's love. And it is transmitted by his disciples through their actions. So the repeated actions actually cultivate a habit. Can you repeat after me, habit? Thank you. Again, habit. The repeated actions cultivate a habit that eventually becomes an automatic response. Automatic response. The reflex. And in our case, the charge given by Jesus is to love one another. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, love one another? Right, and this is God's charge to each and every single maturing disciple, that God wants us to build a habit that is an automatic response, and it is that desire to love one another. Amen? So in today's scripture, we see how John, the author of the book, the letter, reminded the believers to remain faithful to the Lord as his disciples. How so? By remembering that the source of their salvation is from God, and to carry on to be agents of love in an environment where false teachers were prevalent and that much information was there to shake their faith. And so John reminded the disciples to remember where the source of his and their salvation is, and to carry on to love one another. So question, is there really perfect love? And if yes, where is that central system and source of love, and how is it being displayed? In John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. The answer is there is a perfect love, but this perfect love is found in God when he sent his only Son into the world so that we can live eternally and be redeemed of our sins. The love is not something that's physical, and God looks beyond. God looks beyond and help us to see that it is the love that he did was at the cross by Jesus. Well, words can only express to a certain extent, but allow me to play a video to help us to understand a bit more about it. So the thing that really touched me was the tears in her father's eyes while the train was just passing by and people were just looking out of the window looking at, why is this person in such great distress? They just looked around. They didn't know what had happened. He had sacrificed his son to save them. Friends, while we were still sinners, we did not know what we need, but God knew, and he gave us his only son. And then the scripture says in verse 10, not that we loved God, but he loved us. This is the part that wowed me. It is with great pain that he had to send his son to die, but he did not hesitate to do it because he is driven by a deep love for you and for me. That is why we respond in love to God. The first thought I want to share with you about the nervous system of God's love is the source of love. The source of love is in what God had done for us. Not in romance, not in roses, certainly not in people. But we love because he first loved us. We love God as a response. That is the true way of drawing love for us. That is our source, not from others, but from God himself. We know John 3:16 very clearly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And the story did not end just with the death of Jesus. Jesus resurrected, and he ascended to be with the Father. The power of the resurrection tells us that he has overcome death. That's why when we believe in Jesus, we will not perish because he has overcome. And so knowing that we have such a loving Father who does not desire for us to perish, do you have the heart to grieve the Father's one? The second thought I want to share with you about God's nervous system of love is that of transmission. The transmission of love. In verse 11, we continue, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we loved one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. The key words that I would like to bring to your attention is ought to. It is a commandment. That's why we are commanded to love one another. And this commandment helps us to achieve two key goals. Number one, that others may experience the love of God. How? How can we be transmitters of God's love to others? In verse 13, John says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit and the empowerment by the Holy Spirit that we can do this for others to experience the love of God. When Jesus ascended, the prophecy of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So if you ask me, how can I transmit God's love to someone? You have to do it by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to teach. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us. Secondly, is to profess our faith and reliance in God by being good witnesses. It says there to testify. Testify that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And if you ask me practically how to do it, I would say that it can be in the form of always giving credit and thanks for a job well done, or for seeing you through a tough period, a difficult time, or even being a source of support for your family and friends in times of trouble. These are ways whereby we can be effective witnesses for Christ. In the small ways, it need not be big. The second key goal is that we will have confidence to meet Jesus again. You know, the passage says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. You know, we stand between the second coming of Jesus. And Jesus is coming again. But this time around, he is here to judge for all that we have done. At the day of judgment, you and I, we will just stand in front of him and account for every single thing that we have done. This sounds scary, isn't it? But we are also encouraged in verse 18 that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You see, if our strength and our source of love is from the perfect love of the Father, how can it be wrong? Or can there be fear because of guilt or fear of punishment? And therefore, all that we do, it must be a response to an overflowing love of the Father. So we are commanded to love so that others may experience the love of God and we will have the confidence to meet Jesus again. Years ago, I was volunteering for a children's ministry, and this children's ministry reaches out to a group of abused and neglected children between the age of 7 to 12. So what we do is that, you know, there's a 5-day stay in camp, and the camp aims to build positive memories to these children, telling them that they are worthy to be loved. So in this camp, there are different roles that volunteers will play. So I was the counselor in 2011 to two girls, aged 11 and 12. So the role of a counselor is not to sit in the room and then, you know, tell me what's going on within you, no. But the role of the counselor is simply to encourage them and to take part in activities with them. In this camp, it is just so purely about love. Everything is positive, no scolding. Everything is about encouraging. So the highlight of the camp is on day 3, where there is everybody's birthday. Okay, in this, we'll have a birthday party, and there will indeed be gifts for them, presents. So the counselors are in charge of buying presents for the children whom they take care during that 5 days. So because we have access to their profiles prior to the camp. And so my love language is actually gifting. So I like to give gifts to people. And so I spend a lot of time praying and hunting down gifts for them, sometimes even going beyond budget. So during that period when I was praying, God, what gifts do I give to these two girls? The Holy Spirit prompted me very clearly that I need to get watches. It's like, watches? Like, that's quite expensive. So how am I going to find the watches? And it's for two girls, you know? So I prayed. And I remember during that time, I haven't been to Bugis Street for a very long time, but Bugis Street used to have very good deals. Sometime during 2011. So I actually went and I walked along the street, and then lo and behold, I saw watches from afar at a particular stall, and those watches were beautiful. So I decided to get two watches, a purple one and a pink one. Then when it comes to wrapping the gifts, I was very tempted to give a pink one to this girl I will call Tammy. And then the purple one to another girl, I'll call her Joan. But then as I was packing and I was wrapping the presents, I felt something stirring within me to say, no, you need to swap the watches. And that would mean that the purple one goes to Tammy. But I felt that, no, I think the pink one suits Tammy more based on the profile that I've gotten. But regardless, I obeyed. I gave the purple one to Tammy. So the day came when, you know, ta-da, presents time, open up your presents. And then lo and behold, Tammy was extremely touched. So I was just wondering why. So I asked her, and she replied, Jeje, I've been praying to God for a watch for a long time. And I really want it. And God gave it to me through you. And purple is my favorite color. Only God knows that My favorite color is purple. How did you know? Fact is, I don't know. I didn't know that purple was her favorite color. And so she was really excited from then on, wearing her watch every single day, every single time, telling friends and campers and counselors and all the volunteers that I got a watch. My prayer has been answered. So I didn't know that purple was her favorite color, but God knew, and I just let the Holy Spirit lead me. This is living testimony, and God is glorified. Like we shared, we don't know the needs, but God surely knows the needs of the people and wants to love them. If we just let the Holy Spirit guide us, we can be transmitters of His love. The other child, Joan, was a very difficult child. She's always crying for attention. And the way she cried for attention is very painful. Why? She will scratch. She will scratch the female counselors to get attention. Or she will pinch us. So, but we cannot score, right? Because it's full of a camp to build positive memories. Maybe not for them, but not for us. Okay, but you see, the thing is, she's a very difficult child. She was always crying for attention. But you know what? When she received her gift, right, she had a question for me. She said, she asked, Crystal Tete, what made you buy these presents for us? I cannot remember my reply. It's been 9 years. But I saw how she herself could not believe that she got these presents. And the way she responded to me was, she just walked over to me and gave me a hug and said, thank you. So it was a privilege for me to be used by God to transmit His love to these children. Again, I must emphasize, these children come from abused and neglect background. They never knew that they are or they were worthy to be loved. But God used us, the volunteers in camp, to be the agents and transmission of love to them. Will you also allow God to use you to love others? My third point today is on the action. Remember the reflex, there's a central system, and then the transmission, and now finally the action itself. Verse 19 says, we love because He first loved us. As a Christian, how can we love so much so that it becomes an automatic reflex action to others? The key is in verse 20. Verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So if a person hates his brother, he will have used his own lens to view his brother and assess his brother. It leads to jealousy, like Cain and Abel, how did the brother kill the other one, and cause more harm. And that caused yourself, ourselves, to drift away from God. But if a person or disciple of Christ truly loves God, he will take on the lens of God. And what you see will be truly different. You will see that, wow, this person is a gem to God. God loves this person. And we will know how to forgive as God forgives. And we will love just as how God loves. And such is the commandment that God gave. That whoever loves God must love his brother. As we are Christ's witnesses, how do we conduct ourselves in speech, in action, in thought? I have a solution. It's 4 words in 1 question. That will serve us as a reminder and check on our behavior. Very simple. What will Jesus do? I do this often because it's a reflex for me. Whenever I feel I'm reaching my boiling point and I can't handle things anymore, I will just slow down and ask, what will Jesus do? I used to do projects whereby my company develops new software for different companies. So basically an SI, systems integrator. And my role was to communicate changes to the IT systems or updates to the IT systems to the employees so that there will be buy-in and there will be lower resistance to use the new system. So I was working on a project. And this project has got a client whom I happen to know is a brother in Christ. So I submitted my proposal to him after much consultation with his colleagues and also with the organization's guidelines. But when the submission went up, his reply was absolutely hurtful. He said that our work was like trash. That's exactly how it was. Can you imagine you open up an email full of expectation? I take pride in my work, yeah? So full of expectation, and then you see this, it's like trash. So I was deeply hurt, upset, disappointed with all these comments. Of course, emotions were raging. It went through every single thing, was swimming in my mind. Then I had a plan. The plan was to bring him down. Okay, but I'm a Singaporean. So the plan was to lodge an official complaint to the organization. And that will mean an internal investigation, actually. And how the implications will be, his career may be affected. I could be taken out of the project. And we don't know what will happen. And so, you know, that four words, right? What will Jesus do? I remember that I went for a jog, crying, praying. And then, you know, God told me in prayer that two words. Forgive him. What? Forgive him? You can imagine the tons of justification I took with God. I was like that. Like, no, how can it be? I was in huge wrestling with God. But then in the end, I have to obey because God said so. But the obedience doesn't come that easily. It took me weeks to pray for him and to pray for myself to release forgiveness unto him. It took me weeks of repeated prayer for him in order for me to find my peace. So if I were to depend on my flesh and not put on love for God, I will never be able to forgive and love this brother. Because remember, my plan was to bring him down. So I learned that it's very easy, you know, to point someone to a Bible verse. God says in the Bible, love your enemies. God is love. You must love. More love and even more love. But when it translates to action, it's simply so difficult. Action is where love impacts. Action is where love meets life. Friends, what action is God calling you today? Is there something you need to do to make God's love count? You know, the journey of being a disciple is never the easy and wide road. It's always narrow and it's always full of obstacles. But take heart, because we have Jesus who knows what we are going through, and we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in our ways. And above all, we have a Heavenly Father, a loving Father who loves us unconditionally. I'm going to invite the worship team to lead us in a song. And I just want to allow each one of us to just maybe take this time to respond to God. How the words spoken have actually resonated with you. So I'm praying for God to speak to you about today's word. The key marks of being a disciple of Christ is to carry the love of God and to transmit them to others. Where are you in your love for God and your love for others? As the worship team leads us, we just close your eyes, bow your heads, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us this afternoon.
Share.